No matter where you are, it's Texas Standard Time on this 27th day of April 2021. I'm David Brown. The fastest growing state since the last decennial census? Utah. Who'd you think we were going to say? Admittedly, that is far from the most salient finding for Texans in yesterday's release of the Census Bureau's congressional apportionment count. But it does speak to some of the surprises and lesser-known trends that underlie the big reveal on the official population numbers yesterday, numbers that determine how everything from political representation in Washington is counted to how much federal aid is apportioned. While nationally, two of the biggest takeaways may be a slowdown in overall population growth not seen since the 1930s, and the South and the West appear to be growing fastest in picking up more potential political power. The big news for Texas here is a gain of about 4 million more residents in the past decade. The Census Bureau says Texas has officially crossed the 29 million population mark for the first time. The population growth means that the state will gain two congressional seats, bringing its total number of U.S. House districts to 38. Texas will also be a bigger player in the Electoral College, moving from 38 to 40 votes. Here to help us break down some of the political implications and more from this new census data is Rogelio Sáenz. He is a demography professor at the University of Texas in San Antonio. Professor, welcome to the Texas Standard.
Thank you very much, David.
First off, can you tell us what this census data that was released Monday is exactly? As I understand it, it's not all the data that was collected in 2020?
Right. So these are the data that are going to have the national as well as the state final counts. And these are going to be used for the apportionment of representatives, as well as the distribution of federal funds and so forth.
Why doesn't this include all the data that was collected in 2020? Is that beyond the purview of this particular number count?
Right. There, I think that there's probably still more work going on. As we know, we're in the midst of a pandemic, and that explains the lateness of this, the release of these data. But those will be coming out, I believe, September the 30th will be when the next set of numbers will be released, and those will be used for redistricting within states.
And is it possible we could see yet another change to, say, the congressional count as a result of those additional numbers, or no?
I don't think so. I think that these are pretty final, unless there's a major error, which I don't think is going to be the case.
Right. Well, now we have some important information, especially when it comes to the role that Texas will be playing in Washington, the size of it, most certainly. What can we decipher about these two congressional seats gained? Some had predicted three would be picked up, not two.
Yeah, exactly. I think here it's going to show increasing strength of Texas in the national politics with two congressional seats added. As you pointed out, it was projected that there would be three. My colleague Dudley Poston, who's a retired professor at Texas A&M, had indicated that Texas stood to gain the last seat, 435th seat, but that any undercount would really put that in jeopardy. And I think that if we look at the numbers, for example, the population estimates for July 2020 were suggesting that the population was about, the actual count in the census was about 0.7% below. So suggesting that perhaps there was a significant portion of undercounting, which gave away that seat. And when I can't help but think of Governor Abbott not putting money to try to get the count up and the count out here in Texas that could have put it, that in jeopardy. But I think that there are other factors as well. I think that the pandemic factor here, we know that Latinos have been particularly impacted. We've seen a slowdown in the growth in the Latino population, largely because of the decline in fertility, as well as a major decline as well as in migration from Mexico in particular. So that I think that these factors together accounted for the Texas only picking up two rather than the three congressional seats.
Well, let's talk about those additional seats. What does this do for the redistricting process, and where does that go from here? We're going to have to wait until the additional numbers come in the fall?
Yeah, so that's what'll happen. So we're talking about September 30th or so, and then we know the politics of redistricting. We've seen it in the past and so forth. So Republicans will be in control of that. Of course, there has been the push for trying to bring in a neutral third party that does the redistricting, but I don't see that happening.
Sounds like you believe that there may have been a missed opportunity here as you were talking about Governor Abbott's role.
Yes, I think we stood to have that third seat, and not only did we slip just a notch, but we were number three in terms of gaining that 435th seat. The next in line were New York, then Ohio, and then Texas for that 436th seat or so, as we didn't get the 435th.
Rogelio Sáenz is a professor of demography at the University of Texas in San Antonio. Professor, thanks again.
Thank you very much, David.